One of the chapters is entitled The Way of Wolves, and there are several reasons I decided to write this chapter. One of the reasons is because the wolf is the most misunderstood creature and is reviled by many Americans, maybe by most Americans. And the wolf is thought of as inherently evil. It is talked about as a creature who enjoys killing. Sometimes it's referred to as the devil's dog. And in stories like Little Red Riding Hood, the wolf is always the heavy, the bad guy. Your Americans brought those beliefs and fears about the wolf from Europe when they came over. And when they got here, they hunted the wolf to near extinction in the United States. The last wolf on the Rosebud Sioux Reservation was hunted down and killed in 1917, 28 years before I was born. As a boy, I had never seen a wolf, but I did have a dream, actually a recurring dream about a wolf. In that dream, I was sitting by a stream bed, a small creek that was flowing with cool, clear water. And it was in a small river valley, and there was a small grove of trees. And out of that grove of trees came a wolf. Now, keep in mind, I had never seen a wolf before. But the wolf I saw in my dream was exactly like pictures of wolves I saw later on. The wolf walked through the trees, lay down on the edge of the stream, and drank water from it. And the whole time in the dream, he kept looking around as if he was afraid that he was cautious. And he would drink and he would look around. And finally, he looked directly at me. And wolves have a very intense stare that seemed to just look right into your very soul. And that's what he did. And then he spoke. And this is what he said, very simply. In that dream, that wolf said to me, "Oyate mitrawaki a oichayakapo." He said, "Tell the story of my people." Now, I didn't know what he meant then as a boy of 6 or 7, or what that would mean for me. But I later told my dream to my grandfather, and he reciprocated by telling me the story of a woman who lived with wolves. And that's in this chapter. So The Way of Wolves is about what family means, but it's also about misperceptions, the kind that become myths we cling to no matter what the reality is. The myths about wolves persist to this day. Many Americans, including some Native Americans now, still believe that wolves are evil. Unfortunately, myths die hard, but I know firsthand they can be dispelled. In 1994, I learned a lesson about how myths are dispelled. I took a trip to Siberia, specifically to the Gorno-Altai Mountains near the city of Barnaul, which population of about 700,000. And I took my ideas, my perceptions, and what I thought I knew about Russia and Siberia with me. And as far as I knew or was told or read, the impression that I carried was that Russian people hated Americans with a passion. And Russian women were 6 feet tall and 200 pounds and could bench press 400 pounds. And Siberia was a frozen wasteland. So I carried all these ideas with me when I went. And I learned that none of it was true. Russians don't hate us with a passion. They're very suspicious of our government, as we are suspicious of their government. But as far as people to people, they were just as curious about us as I was about them. And if I had hung on to those misconceptions, those myths that I carried about Russian people, I would not have been able to have a good time, to realize what was behind those myths. As a matter of fact, Siberia itself is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. It has plains, it has mountains, it has forests, it has clear running waters. That is, until the developers get there. But the people themselves were very, very hospitable. And I was never treated anywhere that I've gone with more hospitality than I was in Siberia. And as for the women, I've never seen more beautiful women anywhere. So this was a lesson I took, not only specifically about what I learned about Siberia, but that myths cannot in any way stand up to the light of reality. They can't stand up to the light of truth. As far as wolves, at one time people, uninformed people, say they traveled in packs, and wolves always had lairs, giving the words packs and lairs a hint of evil because they were associated with wolves. In World War II, for example, German submarines were described as traveling on wolf packs that preyed on Allied ships. So the myth of wolves died very hard. But again, I had another experience that deals with what myths and hanging on to myths is all about. In 1991, I became part of an effort to put wolves back into Yellowstone National Park. They had been missing for decades. And I discovered that the fear-motivated, century-old myths about wolves still existed in 1991, and to a certain extent, they still exist now. But otherwise educated, intelligent people were saying that wolves would carry away children and kill off all the cattle, eat all the sheep, as well as all the game animals. And interestingly enough, one of the people saying these things, in one way or another, was Vice President Dick Cheney, who was from Wyoming. And one of the things that he said was, we shouldn't put wolves back into Yellowstone National Park because there was a reason we killed them all off. But in spite of all of that kind of opposition, wolves were put back into Yellowstone National Park in 1995. And as far as I know, no children have been carried off. And although wolves have taken cattle and sheep, no rancher that I know of has been eaten out of house and home by wolves. And the wolves have simply gone back into the ecosystem of Yellowstone National Park. They are the species of animal that helps to cull the weak and the sick, whether it's an elk herd or the deer herd or anything else. So they're doing their job, as many people expected they would. But the interesting thing about this whole experience of putting wolves back into Yellowstone National Park is very, very simple. The experience has taught people that wolves are extremely family-oriented. They are patient, loving, indulgent parents, and fiercely protective as well. We natives learned a long time ago that there are no orphans among wolves. If wolf pups happened to lose their parents, they were quickly taken in by another family group. So these are the lessons that I've taken from my experience in traveling to Siberia and from being involved with the process of reintroducing wolves into Yellowstone National Park. And so in a way, I'm fulfilling the request that came out of my dream. And the dream said, tell the story of my people. And the story is very interesting. It's all about family. And I think that eventually, at least I hope that eventually we will all learn some of the lessons that the woman who lived with the wolves did in the story.